Hi, welcome to another of our Expert Insights discussions. Today we're joined by Veit Meyer of Berner & Becker. In this discussion, Veit takes us back to basics and looks at the fundamental task of forecasting. We look at what impact the pandemic, technology adoption, and staffing issues has had on why we forecast, what we forecast, and how often we review it. Finally, we consider, is it time to move from the traditional way of forecasting to a more dynamic forecasting approach utilizing real-time data? Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hi, Veit. Good to see you again. Nice of you to join us. How are things for you?
Thank you. Thanks for being back. It's been a hell of a ride over the last couple of weeks. Business is picking up, so very much looking forward to the session today.
Excellent.
It's been about time.
Excellent. It has been about time. And I think what that does is it leads us in quite nicely, because when we were talking about what are some of the topics we want to do over the coming months, it actually seems sensible to go back a little bit to where we started our journey with you guys when we were almost doing podcasting before we even put ourselves in front of the camera, and just looking at some of the fundamentals, almost a back to basics, but overlaying how the increase in technology impact, how the pandemic may have impacted, and also the issue that we're all dealing with now as well in terms of around people from staffing in the hotel, but also changing in terms of our behavior as travelers and how that may be impacting some of the things we did historically. So the first topic we have picked is around forecasting. So we're going to look at revisiting forecasting. Why do we do it? How do we do it? What are we forecasting? So let's start off with a very simple refresher. Why do we forecast?
I think, you know, why do we forecast? I think this is something that has not really changed in terms of why we really do it, comparing pre-pandemic to now, let's say in the pandemic or post-pandemic. I think it's about, you know, giving a realistic picture of what are we expecting to come, what's going to happen. I mean, it also still delivers that purpose of reporting towards the management, right? And obviously for us as revenue managers, it's all about finding opportunities and at the same time also being aware of minimizing risks that could be there within the business performance. So I think around all that planning aspect and which kind of actions we could derive from basically forecasting, there's not been so much of a dramatical change actually happening over those, let's say, past couple of years already.
No, that makes sense.
But that makes sense. And I think the why it just stays.
And in terms of, I mean, from a revenue management point of view, it's looking at it to see, you know, what is coming along and what do we have to be doing. How does that forecast translate back into the hotel and kind of responding and planning to what the forecast is telling us? Because I guess that's an integral part as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nowadays with staffing problems that you hear from everywhere, basically, it's all the more important, you know, to at least get your, let's say, short-term forecasts right. And this is probably one thing that the pandemic fostered a little bit more. Rather than focusing on the very long term in terms of forecasting and building up business planning, it's more about, you know, getting the short term forecasts properly right, so you can basically activate your staff according to what you are expecting to either pick up for your hotel or what you're in general expecting from a financial performance. So you know where to place your staff. And I mean, you will still see, obviously, peak periods, you will see trough periods. And for that, it's all the more important, obviously, getting that right, at least on a, let's say, horizon of around 2 to 3 months in that sense, right? Whereas previously, you've been rather looking into horizons of 6 to 9 months on a regular basis.
And I guess as well, as we're coming out and money's been a bit tight and people have been, maybe utilizing reserves to keep the property open. I'm guessing picking up on your point around staffing, and I'm then thinking in terms of other costs associated to make sure that you've got, you know, if you have food, alcohol, beverage, whatever, you know, to have those prices right, so you can then be looking at profitability. I mean, it all corresponds with that top end forecasting, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I mean, just as a revenue manager, thinking back to pre-pandemic times, we often found ourselves in the situation of solely being responsible for forecasting the rooms side of things. Mm-hmm. Whereas nowadays, over the course of the last couple of months, I think there has been really processes fostered that enabled also revenue managers to look more on a total revenue picture, mm-hmm. Which then obviously includes as well the forecasting side in terms of, you know, depending on what your product is basically offering, but looking into F&B forecasting, looking into M&E forecasting, spa forecasting, parking forecasting. Mm-hmm. And obviously attached to that is always the side of, you know, how do you plan accordingly with your staff around all of these areas, right? Yeah. And also with the, let's say, amenities that you need, with housekeeping that has to be there. And also, I don't know, how many treatment rooms you, for example, get prepared for a certain kind of period of time. All that kind of stuff, I think, has been put a little bit more to the forefront mm-hmm. of things. And it's good to see that the industry is progressing in that way.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. So looking beyond the, I think that's given us a good idea of kind of why. And I know it seems obvious, but I mean, it is a back to basics. That's the point of refreshing it.
Exactly.
But I think, as you say, you know, it maybe has extended a little bit more, certainly in terms of the broader areas that you may be forecasting for, or the importance of aligning. I think that's what struck me as I thought about this going forward as we come out of the pandemic, with the limited resource in both terms of cash and people, being able to properly align those resources, being able to have the right accessibility and availability of facilities in the hotel aligned to where the demand is, could be a massive difference to your bottom line if you get it right or you get it wrong.
No, absolutely, exactly. And also one of the things that I noticed more and more is a proper forecasting approach in the sense of a total revenue forecasting also enables teams actually to, let's say, work on breaking down those silos between mm-hmm. the departments, right? Because it gets the discussion going around mm-hmm. being laser focused on what your financial performance actually for the hotel is actually made of at the end of the day, and how you can, you know, either optimize or how you can minimize risks at the end of the day. And for that, I think that is something that we've only seen cropping up really now over those last couple of months rather than pre-pandemic. And from an evolution perspective, also of the revenue manager's role, which we touched base on also a couple of times in previous episodes, I think it makes very much sense. And it also, you know, puts that spotlight onto the revenue manager or the revenue performance manager even more, right? Mm-hmm. And it gives that person another kind of credibility if it has their hands basically within different kind of departments, at least from a planning side.
That makes sense. And has... We've spoken about how the pandemic has had an influence on why we're forecasting and what we're thinking about forecasting. And we've touched a little bit on obviously the staffing. So we're looking a little bit at some of the factors that we were going to overlay and already kind of drawn into them a bit on this one. So we may as well pick that up and say, from a technological point of view, has anything changed over the last couple of years? Not as to how, because we'll talk about the how and what we're forecasting in a minute, but in terms of why we're forecasting, has technology had a way of enhancing the why we forecast or drawing it to greater attention?
Certainly, I would say. If you just think about, let's say, the relevance of revenue management systems, for example, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, where, you know, not only revenue managers, but also other members of a hotel team have questioned actually what the system is actually worth, right? Mm-hmm. then obviously out of that discussion, a lot of providers actually came around with throwing in new data sources that actually enabled the commercial teams to come up with more solid outlooks in terms of forecasting. And I mean, that's been all around, including forward-looking data into making assumptions for what is going to happen, right? Whereas previously, obviously, you've been very much focused on historical patterns in that sense. And maybe a couple of people did, maybe a couple of others didn't, but did not pay so much attention to any sort of forward-looking data, right? In terms of booking trends, flight arrivals, you name it.
In a sense then, technology opening up, or the realization of other technology that's available out there and maybe its importance and bringing that into play has helped to refine and improve why we forecast to make it of even greater importance and more relevance in these times as we start to adjust coming out and we see different patterns, different demand patterns. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely agree, right? You know, just one example. Maybe a couple of people did, maybe a couple of others didn't, but who has ever taken, let's say, search requests volume on the direct channels into account when forecasting for their hotel's performance pre-pandemic? No one has done that in a way, right? But now, obviously, with having that data available in a way, you can integrate it within a revenue management system, for example. I mean, a couple of providers offer that, a couple of others don't. But it's simply with the availability of that kind of data and also the awareness that this has an impact, basically, or can be an indicator for future performance. I think the awareness has also increased a lot. And obviously, if people apply it in a proper way and build that into their forecast processes on a regular basis, they're on the winning side, because the more accurate their forecast will get.
That makes sense. So that kind of leads us in nicely then to talk about, so what do we, when we talk about forecasting, what do we forecast? So we might circle back round to some of this forward looking data. If we go back in time a little bit and say, what did we used to forecast, and what are we carrying forward in this new post-COVID scenario?
I think, I mean, what stays is obviously your forecasting on your room's performance, be that on room nights, average rate and RevPAR in that sense. But I think increasingly we're seeing good revenue managers shifting onto a more profit-focused forecasting as well. So taking into consideration also, at least from a room's perspective, distribution channel costs, and come up with, let's say, probably not 100% accurate picture of the performance, but at least a gradually accurate outlook on what's to be expected from a profit contribution side of rooms on the total business mix of the hotel. And at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, right, I mean, processes around, let's say, F&B forecasting, around spa forecasting, and also M&E forecasting, as well as parking, they still have to be defined, let's say, further, at least from a general standpoint of view, and make them industry-wide accessible and have some sort of standard operating procedure in place. But we, for example, we see a lot of our clients also who are looking into things like that.
Right.
And I think this is the way to go, right? Because at the end of the day, I mean, that whole topic around total revenue management has been on for years and years and years. But now only slowly we're starting moving into that direction. And forecasting is obviously one of those pieces that has to flow in there in order to build up your strategies. And I think it would take us another good while actually before we're at something that is industry-wide accepted from a forecasting process point of view for also other revenue streams. But we see that more and more.
And what about in terms of looking at segments, channels, simple things like booking windows, pace, this kind of, what's being forecasted around those areas?
I mean, there's different levels of detail that you can I mean, I'd almost say can lose yourself into, yeah? at the end of the day. But I mean, there's also the discussion around, you know, does a general segmentation still reflect a proper view of your business that's actually coming in, or should this not be much more granular at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking about it from a pure reporting perspective, like what's interesting for your management board, what's interesting also for other stakeholders, it's less that granularity, it's more of that, you know, giving a broad picture of what is going to happen, right? So people can work with it. I mean, that still involves obviously being very granular also on a daily basis, right? Where you focus on different KPIs along your forecasting, at least for the room side. So you can easily spot opportunities, or you can minimize risks and put on actions that can help activating them. But at the end of the day, if you're looking at a horizon of, 2 to 3 months that are currently relevant to forecast, then I think your granularity focus, depending on who you're going to speak to within your hotel team, is probably very much different.
No, that makes sense. And then just coming back round to some of the other elements that you were talking about that forward-looking data, and you were talking about sort of search demand as one idea. I mean, I guess as well, there's less variability. If we think about Europe, for instance, there's less variability between countries in terms of their recovery from COVID and what they're requiring of travelers, but there are still some differences. I mean, I was talking with somebody today in Spain, and there's still a restriction on restaurant numbers and still, you know, face mask wearing, whereas in the UK now we're pretty much COVID, what COVID kind of attitude. So I mean, are those factors that at some level are looked at in terms of bringing into the forecast?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, not necessarily when you're coming to a demand forecast, because from a demand perspective, right, you would still expect that no matter which kind of restrictions are in place, still that demand would in one way or another would actually be there, depending on which kind of, let's say, demand drivers you're looking at. But when it comes to your capacity forecasting, right, you have to take those things into consideration, right? Yeah. If in the unlikely case of, at least nowadays, of, I don't know, a hotel being only allowed to sell 50% of their inventory, then obviously your forecast has to be adapted to that, right? No way in terms of forecasting 75% occupancy, even though the demand would be there for that. So yes, there's obviously drivers that still influence that, even though they get less and less, thankfully. But I think there's some really interesting areas that people are looking into, right? It's not only around search demand from a forward-looking perspective. It's also around, depending on where the hotel is located, flight arrivals. It's been always been talked around owning your drive-in feeder markets.
Okay.
So
yeah.
One of the factors you could also look into is like, okay, how many arrivals do we expect from travelers being on the way with the car? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so you could tie into sort of car rental and flights.
For example. For example. And I mean, you have opportunities to figure out that kind of stuff, right? I mean, it can be a lengthy process, but obviously that's where I also said, like, from a process point of view, I think there's more to be done because there's so many areas that you can actually lose yourself into. but then it's back to the Pareto rule, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or paralysis by analysis.
Exactly.
Which is another challenge.
In most of the cases,
So maybe the simplest question, if we've looked at why do we forecast and what do we forecast, I mean, probably how do we forecast should be a relatively simple question to answer, but I'll ask you, how do we forecast?
Well, you know, obviously, I could tell you, right, you're starting from your on the books figures, no matter in which area. And then you're obviously applying that on top, what you're still expecting to pick up in any sort of area. But obviously, nowadays, with technology being at the forefront of, delivering, let's say, a solid base for a forecast validation, Does not necessarily mean that you solely rely on your technology built forecast in mm-hmm. that sense, because you should also have an understanding of how you would do that from a manual perspective. And you yeah. should at least have the understanding of how the technology is actually coming up with those kind of results that it gives you. But also looking into how much time probably people spend, at least revenue managers spend pre-pandemic working on different forecasts using Excel files and so on. I think this is a development that we see, that this is getting less and less, and people are more driven towards using technology.
Well, I mean, that was a question I was going to ask as you were talking about it, because maybe links into the other. Let me ask the second question, question I was going to ask then. So how often do you revisit that forecast?
Well, if you're doing a manual process in terms of forecasting, I think you're not going to do it more than once every week.
Okay.
Probably once every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then obviously also for just the time horizon, 2 to 3 months, which is fair enough. But obviously, if you have solid technology in the back, then, I mean, you can forecast on a daily basis. If you have to, I mean, the system does it for you anyway, right?
Yeah.
In a way. And if you're confident with the configuration and the setup of the system, and you have built up a certain level of trust, then I think, you can look into validating that system forecast on a daily basis if you want, if you find the time for that. I doubt that revenue managers find the time for that. But on a personal note, what I would do is probably look into a forecast validation, even of a system forecast, trying to do that once a week.
Yeah. Because I mean, that was the thing I was going to look at, is that to me, it would seem like setting it up and doing a forecast. I mean, if you were doing it manually, how long could it take to do a forecast?
Oh, well, depending on the level of detail you're going, right? And depending on the level of, let's say, data sources that you take into account, no matter if historical or forward-looking, and depending on how long it takes you to actually consolidate those different data sources, it could take you anything between, I don't know, 30 minutes and 4 hours. And then obviously you have to ask yourself the question, is spending 4 hours on a weekly basis on a forecast for the next 2 to 3 months worth your time?
Yeah. I think that was the thing, because we know that there's a push for adoption of technology, but we also know that not everyone has a piece of technology. If we're then also talking about additional data sets coming in, that's adding to the complexity, which if I'm doing this manually only increases the complexity, or I just don't have the time, so I don't bring it in which case then my forecast is maybe not as accurate as it could be. Yeah. And then in addition to that, if I'm only revisiting it every week or maybe every 2 weeks, then the amount that can change in that period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, if we know from a revenue management point of view, when we're talking about pricing and dynamic pricing, I mean, it's adjusting all the time. We don't set a price for 2 weeks and then come back to it and review it and check it. But our forecasting is done in that particular way, rather than it being a dynamic forecast. So it would just see. And I think that's the biggest shift that I felt was coming out, if we look back at technology and people and COVID, is that the importance of forecasting has been really highlighted when we are in more challenging times and demand isn't as high as it used to be. Technology has provided us with additional data because our historic data is maybe not as reliable as it has been previously, and we're trying to look forward. And then we have less staff or less time for that staff to be working on. So it almost feels a bit like a perfect storm that could be a nightmare if you were trying to manually forecast going forward in an accurate way as compared to one of your competitor sets that maybe has... And I'm not advocating, this is not just to try and push technology, but I think we're at a phase now where are we at a tipping point where it's almost, you know, we now have to make that investment in the technology, because doing it manually, we're almost going to get left behind.
Exactly. And I mean, one of the measures of, you know, forecasting previously has always been around forecast accuracy. And nowadays, like, okay, throw forecast accuracy out of the window. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who cares about it? Because with all, let's say, at least if you're doing a manual approach to forecasting, right, no one would expect you to get a forecast absolutely correct.
Yeah.
If you don't have the opportunity actually to grasp all those different data sources that can actually influence demand for a specific property and could count into you delivering a solid outlook for the next couple of months. So I think in that sense, relying on technology and making that investment, first of all, into it, and then obviously also using it to the max is absolutely essential. And I think with a proper configuration and setup, you will also get to the point that your forecast accuracy is actually improving, right? Mm-hmm. By the time it learns. Mm-hmm. And yeah, from that perspective, I mean, there's no doubt around it, right? Whoever is forecasting on a manual side of things is having a hard time.
Yeah, I could imagine they would be. And I guess as well, if we're overlaying, you know, the people piece from a staffing point of view, but again, externally as a traveler, whether it be business, leisure, those behaviors have changed as well. So you can't almost go back to necessary, or it would be hard to argue that you could go back and forecast in the way that you were before, because behavior has changed, and that would maybe influence how people are traveling. And so by definition, that has got to influence how accurate your forecasts are going to be. Would that be fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, for the sake of simplicity, right? And that's what I said earlier, depending on how deep you're going in terms of level of detail on your forecasting, you might still be looking at, let's say, very generalized segments. You might also still be looking at a very generalized viewpoint on the type of travelers that you're dealing with in your property. And I mean, it's all fair enough, right? At the end of the day, it just depends on who you are delivering the forecast to and what you want to read out of it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
One of the things that changed is that a forecast, as it was pre-pandemic, dictates where your pricing should go. This has been turned around a bit in my feeling, right? So you're rather starting from that pricing end point, right?
Okay.
And you say, okay, if you have a revenue management system in place, right, pricing is determined based on a forecast. That's correct. Mm-hmm. But it's in a circle, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Each one influences the other, flip-flops.
Your pricing evolves. So your forecast also evolves, and the other way around. Those are evolvements that I find very interesting in that sense. And I think it's just the right way to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. That could be a further discussion at another time, sort of which one leads which.
Yeah, exactly. Or should lead which one. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe different ones lead at different times. But it was interesting. We did another video, and I'll make sure the links in this video and in the notes, one of our other expert partners was saying, you know, the forecasting and the way that we have forecasted traditionally is now outdated, and it should become more of a dynamic forecasting in much the, and they use the analogy that in a way, you know, a journey, when you go on a journey and you utilize something like Google Maps. So if you were taking a European road tour, historically, you would maybe anticipate being at certain different cities during the course of your 5-day trip at certain times. And that's almost how forecasting is done, and you go back and revisit.
Yeah.
But if you do something like Google Maps now, there's information coming in all the time, which would tell you to take a different route or different times, and you could adjust accordingly. And so they were saying the argument around how technology, in the same way that pricing is changing dynamically, that forecasting should just be something that you go to, and it is just updated based on events that have been happening in real time. And so that comes back to your part about how pricing and forecasting one leads the other.
Yeah, and I like that analogy very much because it's simply true, right? I mean, if you have a solid piece of tech in place that delivers forecasting on the go, basically, yeah. I mean, this is what you want, right? Yeah. Exactly. But it still obviously requires that human input, right? Because there's simply things, and we all know that, right? Yeah. We have been discussing that so often, that a system or a piece of tech can simply not know. And it simply has to be told at the end of the day by a human configuring the system. But then obviously, you know, it makes it still worth obviously validating that system forecast, because you, even though you have a high level of trust and even though you want to rely on it, and even though it gives you a forecast out and by the press of a button at the end of the day, you're still in a revenue manager capacity obliged to validate that forecast.
This is
part of your job.
And that's funny because they came to the similar conclusion as well, that it's not just technology for technology's sake. You still need the human element. But they also took it a step forward, which said, you know, if you were using that analogy of going on a journey, if you mapped it in an old way, or then you use Google Maps, for instance, and you were recommending that journey to somebody, and consistently your accuracy was within, say, 3-4% accuracy, the confidence of who you're reporting to, whether it be a general manager, whether it be a board, whether it be shareholders, because people like people like to be confident in a forecast. People also don't like it when you beat forecasts. I always find it funny when the stock market, when they report and someone says, oh, they've beaten forecast by like 15% and their stock price drops because people are nervous. Well, you're meant to be in charge of your business. How do you not know how to forecast accurately? So it was an interesting kind of more nuanced thought about how the more accurate the forecast can be and the more you're reporting, the greater the confidence. And then the way that you set up your hotel and plan your hotel to support your guests, you can be more assured because you are becoming more confident in your forecasting. It's certainly added to the conversation, this technology piece. And I think in light of staffing challenges and where maybe you've lost someone who had the skill before, and now you've got someone who you're asking to do it because you haven't got somebody in place, that then creates another variable, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely agreed to all of those points. Yeah.
Number of challenges. Anyway, conscious of your time, this was a back to basics, so it's a shorter kind of video. We've covered off the why, the how, the what, and what the challenges have been. And I think if nothing else, what it's reinforced is that, you know, it is probably even more critical now than it was before. But the importance of additional data and the importance of technology has probably enhanced a lot more over the last 18 months, 2 years as well. So, appreciate your time with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trevor. Thanks, everyone.
You take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Vite for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe. It really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.